Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being until we ask for them. We have this on the line, John Stormer. And back in 1964, a John Stormer wrote a book that helped to influence my life and the lives of really millions of Americans. That book was called None Dare Call It Treason. It sold some 7 million copies of the book, and he's written other books. He's had probably 10 or 11 million copies, maybe more than that, of his various books he's written, distributed across the country. John became a Christian minister, and certainly he is retired now, but of course he's working harder than ever. He puts on a session there in the state of Missouri, where he lives, every week for members of the state legislature, and a lot of these people are really beginning to really turn to the Lord and look to him for their guidance, aren't they, John?
Yes, we've been really excited to see the effect in the lives of some of the people that we've had in our Bible studies over the years, and see them move up and have some real influence in the government and in our culture.
Well, maybe Missouri is going to lead the way back towards some sort of sanity here in America.
Well, though there's still battles going on.
Oh, I realize we haven't won the battle at all, but anyway, it's such an important thing, and I, you know, the fact that you've been willing, you know, week after week, you know, for I don't know how many years you've been putting on that Bible study?
I believe it's 28 years now.
Well, you've reached an awful lot of people, and I know you've brought an awful lot close to the Lord, and as we always say, this really isn't a political battle. It's a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield.
That's right.
Well, let's, what were we going to talk about? There was something you specifically wanted to bring up this afternoon.
Well, we're living in exciting times.
Yes, we certainly are, aren't we?
I was thinking a little bit ago that, you know, probably 3 weeks ago, Karl Rove was in the headlines, and then the London bombings, and that totally shifted, and then Judge Roberts, and just from day to day, we're bounced around, stirred up, or being pushed or manipulated one way or another.
Now, do you ever have a feeling that they're almost playing games with us? You know, this is the crisis for this week. The avian bird flu is about to strike and kill, you know, 300 or 400 million people, and next week, who knows what it'll be. Maybe it'll be the smallpox epidemic again. But somebody is manipulating our reactions and forming our tastes and really molding our minds as well.
Yes, and I don't know whether, I don't know the degree to which this is planned, or it's just the news media is looking every day for some new crisis that it may be something happening in Shanghai or someplace that they jump on and they carry it for a day or so, and then they find something else. Of course, some of the people in Washington certainly provide them with a lot of grist for the wheel.
Well, I'm sure Karl Grove is glad that they're off on Judge Roberts now rather than following along with his travesty.
Well, right, there's some interesting things.
Hold that right. We'll be back in just a moment, and we'll bring up those interesting things right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, and John's about as old as I am. He's a retired minister, but he's really not retired. He's traveling all across the country and putting on weekly Bible studies for the legislators there in Missouri where he lives, and writing books, and even occasionally doing talk shows with me. John, why don't you sort of pick up, and what were the things that you'd like really to address to our listeners out across America, indeed across the world, this afternoon?
Well, there's breaking news from day to day on Judge Roberts.
All right. What is your take on this? Because, you know, certainly all of my conservative Christian friends are solidly behind Judge Roberts. And then, of course, I read that some of the liberals are against him. But when I begin seeing good things about him in the Washington Post, then I really begin to worry. So what's your take?
I think a friend told me that Kim Rutherford had couple of people on Sunday morning, and there was general agreement that he'll probably get 70 votes on his approval. And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this morning just really took Planned Parenthood apart for this video that they've turned out, saying that he supported clinic bombers and so forth and so on. But as I would evaluate, and I would certainly hope that that the man is a conservative and will take a good stand, but remember Ann Coulter's thought that we've never seen a stealth candidate yet that turned right after they got on the court.
And I remember Ann's remark in Human Events. She said, "Fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me." And
that's
she
right.
said, "We've been fooled. We conservative Republicans have been fooled so many times by the Republican leadership telling us we were going to get conservative Supreme Court justices, and then they just never work out that way they're supposed to. But the Democrats never have that problem. They put in a liberal, and they always stay liberal."
That's right. Roberts, I've been fascinated as I look at his background. I think that he's been preparing himself, and he's been being prepared to someday hit the Supreme Court. And there's nothing wrong with a man having a goal, particularly if you're an attorney and a top one.
Hold that thought right in just a moment. We want to bring our various stations right back on here in just a moment, and I certainly don't want to have them miss any of your thoughts on what's happening in the Supreme Court nominee. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, who wrote A None Dare Call It Treason, and if you haven't read it, well, you need to, and then it's updated, A None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later, both very important books. And then, of course, his latest book is None Dare Call It Education, and we actually carry three of John's videos here, What Are the Dead Communists Doing, and then one on, of course, What's Happening in Education. I've even forgot, what's the third one on?
The Biblical Basis for the Declaration of Independence and a Constitution.
All right, fine. Well, basically, when we were away from our listeners, we were talking about Judge Roberts, and certainly most of the very, very fundamental Christian organizations, right-wing, you might call them, organizations, are solidly behind Judge Roberts. Many of the left-wing organizations are attacking him. But when we begin to see the Washington Post, which is a very liberal organization, Catherine gave Graham's a newspaper until she passed away and went to her just rewards. You know, when they begin to coming up and saying some things that are almost praiseworthy, when New York Times won't go that far, but they are part of the liberal establishment, but they're not attacking him as viciously as I would anticipate if he were really what the conservatives hope he is. And then Ann Coulter, writing in Human Events, has said, you know, I really don't trust the what the Republicans tell me anymore, because time and time again they've told me we were going to have a Republican Supreme Court nominee, and then he didn't turn out the way he was supposed to. So, quite frankly, I don't know, but I'm very interested in knowing what John Stormer thinks.
Well, I don't know either, but as I watch Roberts' whole background and record, I have a sense that he has planned his whole career and worked through the last 25 or 30 years towards the day when he would be a possibility for the Supreme Court. And certainly anybody that's in the judicial field, the lawyer, that's the top place for them. He has been very, very careful in most of the positions that he's taken to not be really nailed down as to where he stands. Now, if a man had any sense and hoped to get on the Supreme Court someday and was really a conservative, he'd probably learn from the experience of Judge Bork and say, I'm going to be more careful. That's one way of looking at it, but there's things coming out. Today's Washington Times, for example, revealed something that to me was very, very concerning. They've come up with a memo that he wrote to William French Smith, the Attorney General, back in 81, 82, right after the Reagan administration came to power. And Judge Roberts, then an assistant Attorney General, wrote a memo to William French Smith warning him to be very, very careful about this guy, Paul Weyrich, who is no friend of ours, and he's going to be trouble, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I think that both of us...
he is a true friend and a great patriot and a great American.
By the way, have you heard... I got a prayer request day before yesterday, and Paul was having both legs amputated today.
Oh, my goodness. No, I hadn't heard that. What a terrible thing. He is a great American, really.
He is, and of course, you know, in 2001, he had that fall and a lot of spine damage, and I don't know what has developed, but I have been praying and have been remembering, and Paul is a national treasure.
Amen to that.
And certainly...
somebody just called in. Who is Paul Weyrich? Paul Weyrich is a conservative leader in Washington, D.C., and he has a think tank there that's really been really out in the front of the conservative movement.
He was really the founder of the Heritage Foundation, right. And then moved out into free Congress because if you're like Heritage and not-for-profit, you have to be... And Paul Weyrich has the Free Congress Foundation and has, I know of instances where he has played a real hand in electing a senator from a state that's in the balance. And he's a real player, and he's just solidly, solidly conservative.
Amen to that, and a fine Christian gentleman. And what a privilege it is to have known him through the years. And I'm so sorry to hear that he is really having problems. But if Judge Roberts had written a memo saying that Paul Weyrich is no friend of ours, well, then he is really not a friend of the conservative, pro-life, moral group which makes up the foundation of the movement which hopes to take America back to a constitutional republic.
And Eugene Delgadio, a little earlier this week, and Gene is an activist, and he and a friend of mine, Jack Clayton, timed to picket the White House and so forth, but he's on the other hand, he's not some far-off nut. He's gotten himself elected as the county executive in one of the counties south of Washington, D.C. So he's an effective politician, but he really came out today and to all of his supporters and said, we had accumulated a sizable fund to support Judge Roberts, but since the words come out about him playing a pro bono role, he volunteered and got no pay for organizing the plea to the Supreme Court to overrule the Colorado voter referendum that had ruled no special privileges for homosexuals.
I was very, very disturbed when I found it's one thing to take on a client. It's another thing to do pro bono work. for the homosexual agenda, which really that was what it was all about. It was to thwart the will of the majority of the people there. They did not want to give special privileges to the homosexuals. That's what they were asking for. They were very demanding. And when the people voted one way, why they were able, of course, to circumvent that, thanks to Judge Roberts. And you wonder why a conservative would do that, and why George Bush, who professes to be a Christian, would appoint somebody who had done pro bono work and actually was encouraging this alternative lifestyle, as it were.
So there are reasons to be concerned.
Well, I think that all we can do is wait and see. And I've heard, of course, that he is supposedly a good Catholic. His wife is supposedly pro-life. But on the other hand, I remember Tipper Gore's wife was supposedly against pornography, and yet everything Al Gore stood for was against everything of supporting traditional family
maybe
values.
Maybe that's why Tipper ended up with so many problems in her life. And she was. I remember a night 10, 12 years ago, while he was still a senator, and she was out on the thing, and there was a small group of half a dozen, eight people maybe, that we spent about 3 hours with her planning out how to nail this whole pornography thing and the bad stuff. So
Maybe she was on one side and Al was on the other. Certainly, and that certainly can be true. So we just don't know it. It's difficult to prejudge anyone. All I can say is what really disturbed me, John, is that the Bush administration cannot be forthright on anything the Democrats are asking, and I think legitimately, to see the writings and the notes of that they are readily available in the federal government files on the opinions of Judge Roberts. And the Bush administration refuses to allow them to see it. Now, I believe that the government should not conceal things from the public, whether they be Democrats, whether they be Republicans. And I'm so concerned when you have an administration that doesn't think the people are smart enough to know the truth.
Well, that's true. There are factors here. Certainly, a lawyer and the matter of executive privilege... I'm careful when I'm sitting on a board as to who's there. Are you able to give your opinions and why discuss various possibilities if you know that somebody that's sitting on the board with you is going to be out talking about it to other people? So there's a fine line there, with the political divisions in Washington, I wouldn't want to tell that crew anything.
Well, I think that if the Democrats lay down and roll over and certainly allow Judge Roberts to become a Supreme Court justice, I would only ask why.
Well, one way of looking at it would be that they're willing to replace... They're willing to let another, if he is a conservative, another conservative on the court. It won't really change the real balance. And where the real battle will come, I think, is when Justice Rehnquist decides that he needs to call it a day. At that point, then. I wonder if they may. I try and figure the Democrats out. You can't do that. But if they're smart enough to say, okay, we'll go along on this one. We'll put up our fuss and so forth. But if he is a conservative, and we won't know, but they can go along, let another one on the court, and then when it comes down to the real battle, that's when they'll pull the filibuster and all the rest. And they can say, we were so reasonable on that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it's... turns out it's all speculation on our part now.
That's right.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see.
But everybody else is speculating, so we might as well, too.
Well, that's one thing about talk radio. And, of course, as long as you don't make a prediction, I learned a long time ago, never make a prediction. You know, I can tell you what I think, but I can always say I may be wrong. So we'll wait and see. We'll be back in just a moment here with John Stormer. And, of course, we'll be talking about this subject and other subjects for the rest of the hour.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, and first we were talking about the Judge Roberts confirmation, and certainly I know a number of people I know that you know as well, John. Certainly Dr. John Wilkie is urging everyone to support Judge Roberts, and Stephen the gentleman who has population, Stephen Mosier, Population Control Research Organization, is suggesting everybody support him. And I know a number of pro-life people feel very, very strongly about this. And I just hope and pray that they're absolutely right. We're going to have to wait and see. So what is there anything else that you think is really a burning issue right now? What's your impression of what's going on over in Iraq? John?
I don't. You said, what's going on over in Iraq? And I said, well, it's a tragedy. And I think that we're facing something there that... Now, I hear people who come back, who've served their year over there, that say that we're getting a totally different viewpoint with the attention on the... That the people, the Iraqis, are welcoming them, that there's good relationships and so forth. But the problem is that even if 90% of the Iraqi people are happy that Saddam is gone and all the rest, if you have 5% or 10% of these crazies that believe they're going to get to heaven by blowing themselves up and kill some Americans or Jews in the process, you're going to have an ongoing problem. And I just don't personally see any real solution.
Well, I don't really see any solution there too either. And Chris, one of the things that really disturbs me is that the government recently announced that about 30% of the returning veterans, and this is an awful lot of them, are having some sort of mental disorder. Well, that's what they call it when you have a physical disorder, but they don't want to admit it's a physical disorder. After all, that's what they said after the first Gulf War. All of these people who had headaches and diarrhea and couldn't think and chronically fatigued and had difficulty with their eyesight and rashes, it was all in their head. They called it a mental disorder, and they lied for the last decade, and it 15 years really. Of course, now it's turned out that about half of the Gulf War veterans have a disability of some sort. That's the first Gulf War, and I wonder how many of the young men are coming back now. And the government admits 30% of them, after they've been back here about 3 months, 30% of them now have some sort of a mental disorder. But I don't think it's post-traumatic stress, maybe in some cases, but I really do worry that there may be other things that profoundly impact their health.
Well, there's certainly been questions raised, and I think trying to remember the name of the lady who did the research, I believe you had her on your program back a few years ago.
Now, are you speaking of Joyce Riley? Are you thinking of Lorraine Murray? You're talking about research on the Gulf War syndrome or depleted uranium or what?
Yes. Gulf War syndrome and some of those aspects that have never really been examined. And you mentioned 30% having the troubles in a few months, but the real big problem is that I know young men that after 6 or 8 months over there, they're on their way back over to spend another year.
I know. But you're hearing that at least they're telling you that things are really a lot better than we're getting from the news media here?
They basically hate the news media, for one thing.
Well,
reason.
Right, with good reason.
And secondly, they say that, in other words, there is a response of the people. But again, when you have, in the Soviet Union, for all the years that communism was in control, probably 95% of the people were opposed to the communists.
Right. Well, of course, the thing that really bothers me is the fact that they don't have electricity most of the time, at least in many of the areas, and they don't have water most of the time. And how can you have a civilized society if you don't have electricity and water, especially in that terrible, terrible heat they have in the summers? And they had electricity, at least with Saddam Hussein, as wicked as he was.
That's true. And, of course, the Middle East is just a different place. I've never been in Iraq. I was headed there back in 82 to a group that a friend of mine was going to try and take a group over to see the old Nineveh and the old ruins of Babylon and so forth, but we weren't able to get in. But coming through Syria and some of those other places, I'm sure glad I'm an American and live here.
Well, there's no place like America. We're going to be back in just a moment with John Stormer. And I think when we get back, maybe we'll touch on CAFTA. And really, your impression of this amazing vote on CAFTA, where they just forgot to count the votes of at least one congressman who voted no, and they made it a yes. And, well, we'll talk about all those things when we get back.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, the author of None Dare, Call It Treason, and then a subsequent book, None Dare, Call It Treason, 25 Years Later, and his most recent book, entitled None Dare, Call It Education. We have three of his videos, actually. One is What Are the Dead Communists Doing Now? One is the Biblical History of the Declaration of Independence, and then, of course, the one on education. So we carry those three videos. You can get them independently or all of them together. But let's get into what's happening with CAFTA. I think it's no question that the vast majority of the American people did not want CAFTA. I mean, overwhelming polls showed that the people were against it. However, we really don't have representative government. We have rule from the top, and it's estimated that the Bush administration promised $50 billion in gifts and bribes to the congressmen. Of course, they wouldn't get the money themselves. They get special favors and special concessions for their area. Well, I don't care when you're buying a gift, whether you're giving it, you know, with promising to give something to get people reelected, or $50 billion is a lot of money to spend. This is not about free trade. It's about giving up American sovereignty and moving towards consolidating the Northern Hemisphere into this one political entity, destroying sovereignty, destroying really the very economic foundation of our society. So what's your take on CAFTA, John, and what will its implications be down the line?
Well, there are all sorts of things that aren't good, and I'd look back to NAFTA, which was the forerunner, and experience that I've just had in the last week or so. Supposedly NAFTA and now CAFTA will make it so much easier to do business across the borders and remove a lot of the red tape and restrictions. The Canadians have now, I sell books, of course, and I had an order for a book from Nova Scotia, which is in Canada, and I packed it up as I usually do, and you got to fill out a little green form and looked up the postage and had the stamps on it, took it to the post office, and the nice lady there said, "Oh, I can't take this. The new regulation is that everything in your address and your return address has to be written in block letters, and you can't put that middle initial in there unless you spell it out totally." And so she sent me away, and I went back to my office and developed a whole new label and pasted it on and took it back the next day, and I found there were a couple of more regulations. And I said to the nice lady, I said, "I know you don't have anything to do with this, but, you know, NAFTA was supposed to take care of eliminating all this complication and all this red tape." And she kind of laughed.
That's sort of like the Tax Simplification Act. It was aimed at, of course, at making it more difficult. The alternative minimum tax, that was only for the very wealthy, so that they would pay their fair share of the tax. And it really is aimed, of course, at making the middle class pay more. You know, and we've always got to have some revision of the tax system, because there are those millionaires who don't pay any money, and every time they revise the tax system so that the millionaires will have to pay taxes, more millionaires don't pay any taxes. So they say one thing, they really mean another.
And again, with NAFTA, I was at a meeting in 1994 when that was a big question, and I was on a panel. There were five of us on the panel to discuss it, and they were very prominent people, and some of our listeners might know some of the names. But in preparing for the panel, I actually got the NAFTA agreement, all 2,000 pages of it. And I went through a good bit of it, and I had a dear lady who actually went through and picked out all the pieces to show that it wasn't free trade. And, well, we got on this panel, and one of the people laughed and said, "Well, nobody really has ever read that." And I said, "Well, I got the 2,000 pages here, and I've read it." And by the time we got done, such things as, you know, it was supposed to open the borders and increase trade, and it would help our auto business. And, well, in the fine print, first of all, used cars. Now, Mexicans wouldn't be able to buy, for the most part, the average Mexican wouldn't be able to buy one of our new Detroit-made automobiles. They're looking for used cars. But there was a provision in NAFTA that for 12 or 15 years, no American used car could be sent down there without a big tariff put on it. Much the same thing was done on growing corn. Any American corn that went down there, there were all sorts of restrictions on it. So they always use this term free trade, and there is no free trade when you have governments on both sides controlling all aspects of trade.
But it really, to me, it is really all about surrendering our sovereignty. That's what it's really about, because right. The people who control Mexico and Canada and both parties here in the United States don't believe in American sovereignty. They believe in this elusive dream, this utopian dream of a one-world government under the control of a ruling elite. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's a very valid statement.
You've been studying this for a long time, even longer than I have.
About 40 years.
Right.
And some of the aspects, for example, now they're talking about extending CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade, to include all of Latin America, the Southern Hemisphere. And just the other day, Uruguay, for example, has moved in the World Trade Organization, of which they're a part and we're a part, and they're going to bring charges against us that we're engaging in illegal competition because in the area of cotton, because some of our farmers get some sort of subsidy, and that makes it illegal to, you know. And so all these agreements that we're involved in tie up every aspect of our economy, and in the process, government grows and bureaucrats grow and regulations grow
Well, you know, it's my impression that what we're seeing is it really carrying out the plan that Richard Gardner laid out in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the invisible government. In April of 1974, wrote an article talking about how they were going to, you know, these crazy people that had a constitution, and that was getting in the way, so they're going to have to do an end run around the constitution. He specifically mentioned the World Trade Organization and the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade, and certainly the Law of the Sea Treaty, means of doing an end run around the Constitution. So these people sworn to uphold our Constitution really don't believe in it, do they?
They don't. And one of the aspects, you mentioned my book, None Dare Call It Treason, and the one thing that I have come to see, that I bought what they said, but back in the early 50s, there was the battle, the concern that a treaty would override the Constitution. And Dean Mannion and a number of good senators tried to get the Bricker Amendment through that would have said, put into the Constitution, that a treaty would have no power. A treaty would not be valid if it was in any way in conflict with the Constitution. And their concern was because in about 1920, the Supreme Court ruled that a treaty would be the law of the land even if it was in violation of the Constitution. Now, I've gone back and I bought that and presented that view and the reason why they tried the Bricker Amendment in Not Dare Call It Treason. But as I have read and reread the Constitution, all it says is that treaties will override a state constitution or state laws, but not the Supreme, not the Constitution of the United States.
But of course, the Supreme Court held that, and President Eisenhower pulled out all the stops. He was an internationalist. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's why they made him president.
Exactly.
And he pulled out every stop, just as the President Bush pulled out every stop. They only got CAFTA through by two votes, and one, of course, congressman said he cast a no vote, and they made it a yes vote so they could get a two-vote majority. Had that not been, of course, it would have been a tie vote. But they actually bribed the congressman to vote that way.
Stuff that was put into the highway bill that was passed the day before, the day after.
And the thing is,
billions of dollars.
$50 billion they spent to betray our country. And where's the call for trials, for impeachment, for treason? Because this is really what it was. These congressmen vote to uphold or swear to uphold our Constitution, and this is to simply circumvent the Constitution. That's what CAFTA is about. That's what NAFTA is about. That's what the World Trade Organization is all about. These people who have no loyalty to America, and the average individual doesn't understand the spiritual implications of what's happening.
Well, the spiritual implications is the real concern. All these things that, For example, the thing that makes America different than any other nation in history was the Declaration of Independence and the concept that our rights come not from a king, not from a government, not from a constitution even, but from God. And the Declaration says that the government was then to be formed to make secure the rights that God gave us. And that government was the Constitution of the United States. Now, that being the case, and I've been asking this question all over the country, and people say, well, I never thought of that. If the Constitution was written to make secure the God-given rights that God gave to us, then how can a court, how can the Supreme Court or any judge find in the Constitution written to protect and make secure God-given rights, how can they find in their rights to abort babies, legalize sodomy, distribute pornography, or have same-sex marriages?
Well, of course they can't, but you have people who have been put on our Supreme Court because they hate the rule of God, they hate the Bible, they hate our society, and they've been put on that Supreme Court to undermine it. And there are people who, many of them belonging to secret societies, to Masons, and between 1941 and 1971, as you well know, the Masons controlled the Supreme Court of the United States, and none of our religious leaders would dare get up and say that, because they might offend the Masons.
That's exactly right, and if you go back a great deal, I think you're aware, and maybe we'll talk about it in a few weeks, but I have a new book coming out on the courts, and Russ Cowpound, who was the dean of the Harvard Law School from 1905 till about 1936, and he said his dream was to achieve the absolute through Masonic teachings, and he trained a whole lot of these lawyers that have ended up on the Supreme Court.
And, of course, the average individual doesn't understand the Masonic influence, and they're simply one of the occult organizations in our society today.
You've got a good book on that, I believe.
Yeah, well, we have a whole flock of them, written by various people who are well aware of what's going on. But how could you possibly conceal this from a nation of almost 300 million people? Why doesn't everybody know what you and I know?
People don't want to be bothered. They think that they trust leaders. And I think there's a certain aspect of people are uneasy about some things, but if they really looked into it, they feel that maybe they'd have to do something about it, and it's easier to stay asleep.
Well, I believe that God judges nations, and with what our nation is doing and the murder, not only the 50 million unborn children here, but the fact we have financed the murder of hundreds of millions throughout the world. And we back China's one-child policy, and how many children have been killed there as well. And we say we're in favor of choice, unless, of course, it's a Chinese mother who wants to have a child, and then she has no choice. And
well,
we back that government.
You mentioned America. One of the things that I came to after 9/11, as I was doing some traveling and all over America, in front of every McDonald's and every Kentucky Fried Chicken place, there'd be a sign, God Bless America. And that was a nice thought, but as I thought about it, I thought, what an insult to a holy God to ask him to bless a nation that has killed 30, 40 million babies and all the other things that they do.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that if we don't have revival in America, if the Christians aren't willing to take a stand and, get up out of the pews become involved. Certainly we need to pray to God as if it's up to him, but he expects us to be involved. And the reason that the wicked people are winning is because the good people are doing nothing.
Well, and you mentioned revival. Twice in our history, in the Great Awakening period, in the 15, 20 years before the War for Independence, in 1740 through 1785, and again in 1857, God just intervened in a mighty way in America. The Great Awakening, was really the work of a few preachers, the John Wesleys and the George Whitfields and others. And the second, the 1857 revival, was really the work of lay people who prayed. And it turned the nation upside down and resulted in political change, went around the world, and God's no different. And if people would come, now, God will only intervene to the degree and extent that people are willing to let him use them. And something that I've been saying and try to challenge people with, you know, today we've had a great spiritual awakening in America in the 40 years since God saved me, but it's man-centered rather than God-centered. Come to Christ and he'll bless you, and he does. But the real need among all these people, maybe if we get hurt, they'll start. When the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, came to face with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, his first remark was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And we need to get serious about what God would have us to do.
Amen to that. Well, John, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been John Stormer. His book, None Dare Call It Treason, None Dare Call It Treason 25 Years Later, and None Dare Call It Education. And as soon as you get that new book out, John, please give me a call, and we'll get you on again. Love to talk
about it.
We'll
plan on it. It'll be out the 15th of September.
God bless. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and if you've never read John Stormer's books, let me tell you that they really helped to swing the election, at least the nomination of Barry Goldwater back in 1964, and woke an awful lot of people up to what was going on. Since then, why, John and I have come to be friends, and we both changed our views a great deal about what was going on. But John is a great patriot. In his book, None Dare Call It Treason, we still have copies of the original. We have the None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later. His book, None Dare Call It Education, and all three of his videos, the one of What Are the Dead Communists Doing Today, and certainly his book, video on education, his video on the Christian history of our Declaration of Independence. So if you'd like to get these, why, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. John had mentioned my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It'll take you into the background of the Masonic control of our Supreme Court. We carry several other books that do that as well. Unholy Alliance and Behind the Lodge Door. That's Unholy Alliance, Behind the Lodge Door as well. They're two separate books. We'll give you the information you're not going to hear about through regular channels. Then, really, of course, if you've never seen some of the videos we put out, Iraq, the Untold Story, want to know why we're really in Iraq, how you can document the fact that the war was planned long before the 9/11 attack. You need to get Iraq, the Untold Story. And, of course, you can get the video, you can get the syllabus, or you get the two of them together at a special reduced price. You need to have the information because it gives you the history of all of the wars in the last century. The dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the fact we've heard we had to drop it because we didn't want to have to actually waste a lot more American lives. And the truth of the matter was, the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months. You'll actually get a copy of the front page of the Chicago Tribune in August of 1945, which would put a lie to everything you've ever been taught, but then most of what you've been taught in school, most of what you hear on television, most of what you hear on the radio, most of what you read today in the newspapers and magazines and books just isn't true. And it took me a long time really to learn, and unlearn all I learned at the University of California. We've got some great pamphlets, actually. They're inexpensive. You can get the Foreknowledge of 9/11, the Terrorist Attack. They're my letters in pamphlet form. And there's Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. You can get all three of them together for $9.95, or each $3.95. We have a pamphlet on the history of money. And, of course, it's designed to go with the talk we gave, and you can get the DVD on that entitled The Coming Financial Crisis. We have our DVD on the history of fluoridation, and of course we have the syllabus that goes with that. The hidden agenda with all the documents you need to go to talk to your dentist or talk to anybody about the background of the fact that they're poisoning our children. If you want to know the truth about how they're poisoning our children with the mercury and the vaccines, and they know it's there, and they're still poisoning the older people, because after all, there are too many older people, sort of useless eaters, and they know very well. If they take their influenza vaccine, it's three shots over a five-year period of between 60 and 65, and the incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. Within 10 years. That's Dr. Fudenberg's work. If you'd like to get the link site to his webpage, or if you'd like a copy of that material, Dr. Fudenberg's abstract, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The book on fluoridation is called Evidence of Harm. The book on fluoride, The Fluoride Deception. We've got four tape sets on all these issues and videos. Get the information. Help us to get the truth out across America, because they're poisoning our children. Who would do anything that evil? Well, there really are evil people out there. As we keep telling you, pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.